Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This episode, it's of astounding importance that every single one of you listening in, lean in. I say this repeatedly, but this episode, you really got to lean in. I want to get it front and center. There's two major things. Well, there's many major things, but that we do as men. We have this, number one, we have this insane capacity to minimize and normalize shitty external circumstances in our marriage and by extension, actually in our lives, but shitty external circumstances in our marriages where you're not happy, your queen's not happy, the communication isn't great, there's a ton of shit going down, but we have this capacity to remain camped out in our cranial brain. Remember, neurophysiologically, we have a cranial brain, heart brain, gut brain. And the heart brain and the gut brain, literally, it's like there's 10 times more signals, neural pathways going up from the heart to the brain and the gut to the brain than there is going down. So the whole control center that we've been told and made to believe that, oh, the brain, as in the cranial brain, the brain in your head is the control center. It's not actually. In this profoundly sick society, 99.99% of men have found a way, a creative way, a beautiful, amazing way from early childhood to navigate through life by camping out chin up, living from chin up. It's only cranial brain related processing. That's rational minded processing predominantly. And it's blocking off the vagal nerve descending, ascending, going down from the brain, coming up from the heart brain and the gut brain. That's the feeling neural pathways. We've blocked all of that out. So as a result, because we're individually and collectively en masse, not fully feeling into what's actually live in our emotional bodies. We're repressing and suppressing that stuff from years of conditioning. Boys don't cry. And if you stop the tears, you stop the emotions. If you stop the emotions, you can't empathize. If you can't empathize, your queen cannot and will not ever feel seen, heard, and safe around you. So you see this savage setup that has happened in this profoundly sick society. So the result is, on a practical level, and where I want you to listen in and go, okay, like, am I there? And almost by default, if you haven't already been on an application call to Heroic Husbands Men Circles, if you have not got external support, you can assume you're there. You can assume in some way, shape or form, your cranial brain's printout of where you perceive you and your marriage is at is way better than what your queen's nervous system is, where she perceives it's truly at. And we have this capacity as men to minimize and normalize even her complaints, even her feedback, even repeated times that she's saying this has to improve, and you know this is a disaster zone, and you need to be able to communicate, and like, you need, like, show me your emotions, and you know show up and lead. And we have a capacity to minimize and normalize that it's like, yeah, she's saying it, but like, still, we're not that bad, are we? You know, again, touch base with yourself. Do you find yourself minimizing and normalizing when you're not looking at the feedback? You're not looking at the feedback from your wife, from your relationship, etc., etc. This podcast episode is all about seeing the signs. Get that rational mind, see the signs. That even if the minimizing and normalizing part of your avoidant coping mechanisms in your mind can flit over it, can avoid it, can ignore it. I'm here to say, guys, this episode is based on what I'm observing in countless marriages around the world when guys, you know, start speaking with me. And it's like, I see it. I hear them, literally. Every single one of them. And I was doing the exact same thing myself. I've seen it in hundreds of guys at this point, and it's like, it's omnipresent. This minimizing and normalizing and It's a disaster zone because your marriage can be like going straight for a cliff edge, and you're there going, ah, it's not so bad, not done, more to do, but things are looking up, and they're not. The other thing that we do is lone wolfing. We're minimizing and normalizing how bad things are, and we continue lone wolfing, going, I'll figure this out, I'll quadruple down, I'll show up with better intentions than before. I'll be a bit more disciplined, and we might carve out a weekend, maybe a week of improved performance that's meaningful for a queen, but we rapidly slip down the standards. There's no accountability there. There's no direct black and white feedback to support you overcoming the bullshit in your own system, the blind spots where you can't see your ignorances. You can't see that, that way of communicating is never going to land. You can't see that, hey, you're not being present there. You're not getting direct feedback. So no support. These are two things, minimizing and normalizing, multiplied by lone wolfing, disaster zone, real disaster zone. There's going to be 10 signs here. I'm going to like, it's going to be a rip roaring ride. I really do challenge you. Like I said it before, it's like, I wish I had the technology, to get your name there. It's like, hey, Chris, or hey, Pete, or hey, Mikey, that you'd have this wake up impulse in your nervous system going, fuck, the dude is talking to me. Fuck. Now I'm on board. I challenge you to bring that aliveness because this is crucial. We're talking about the 10 marriage breakdown warning signs that husbands don't notice, or the sort of semi notice, but they don't pay full attention to. Think of it like, think of it like a being a pilot in a jet airline. You gotta look at the warning signs on the dashboard. A pressure drop in the engine. The fuel gauge goes down. The that balancer thing. That it's like whatever. You're going through clouds, and all of a sudden it shows that you're leaning to the left, and actually your nervous system was like, no, I feel totally even. There's a phenomenon. I remember my brother was doing his pilot's license and training, and there's some phenomenon that you can get so out of sync with your environment that you could believe your nervous system more than the dial in the dashboard of the plane, and then you like veer into a mountain or you veer into serious shit. This is actually, maybe it's a good metaphor to begin with. Don't be like that pilot where you're taking your nervous system, you're overriding what you're seeing in front of you with your more comforting space of reality, and then disaster happens. These signs, I want you to look at these 10 signs like they're on a dashboard, like you had a dashboard of your marriage in front of you. And if there's warning signs in any or many of these, like it's enough to have warning signs in one or two. If it's significant warning signs that you can recognize, you gotta pay attention. It's like the pilot. It's enough. You can't just go, well, 27 of the dials are all showing normal, and it's just the fuel is sort of frighteningly low in the red zone. You can't ignore that. You can't go, ah, well, most is going good. I'll just ignore that part. Again, guys, a warning sign is a warning sign. High chances are, if you've warning signs in one, however, you're going to see it if you're really fucking honest with yourself. And this challenge is that get humble, heroic humility, humus, the ground of truth of where you're truly at. All change, all transformation happens from there. Let's jump in. One of the warning signs that husbands don't notice is your queen starts giving you problems. And you're like, you can get frustrated, but I've said this before, like it's actually a long period of time ago I did an episode on this, but it's like, if problems you solve, problems she gives. If your queen ends up noticing, like most guys don't give, we don't individually and collectively, we don't tend, because the whole emotional charge that comes up with long-term deep intimacy, it's like, yeah, we were cool to be on a date, to be looking lovingly into her eyes, and it was all love and connection, the birds and the bees, and you make love, it's all sweet and beautiful. But then you go beyond the honeymoon phase, and it's like you get into deep marriage, into the container of marriage, and like there's no getting out of that. You can't just fuck off like whenever you want for, hey, I'm just fucking off for a week because, like, why? I just need to recharge. This is fucking bullshit. You can't do that shit. Not without seriously negative consequences. Of course, you can own your need. Don't get me wrong. You can own your need and say, hey, baby, with a conscious, open-hearted present, you can own a need and, you know, negotiate with her what that looks like, feels like. Of course, but I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. What happens so often is because we're not actually attuning to our queens emotionally, they will do whatever is necessary to feel some form of connection with us. And the masculine mind, that cranial brain part, that rational-minded part that so many of us identify with, we solve problems. So, you know, if it's an emotional issue, if it's conversational, if it's anything like that, we don't go there, but our queen subconsciously will go, well, you know, they will end up, you'll find, and so many men report this going, man, wow, like I've felt that. But our queens will end up insanely focusing or exaggerating of like children's issues or house problems, or they'll form subconsciously health issues within themselves that ends up like this obsessive thing where they need support, they need help, they need, it's like, and or they mightn't have any spending control to start gaining weight. And in general, there's like a continual background unhappiness, and constantly they're putting their attention obsessively on problems, which you provide solutions to, but there's some part of you looking on going, she's not looking for a solution here. And maybe one problem you solve, but then another problem shows up. This is a major warning sign. This is the subconscious part of your queen's nervous system going, dude, you don't give me any attention when I'm not in the shit. You don't give me any attention when in the shit means me giving you direct feedback about a relationship, about our intimacy, about like I'm not feeling you attuned to my needs, you're not hearing me, blah, blah, blah. All of that gunky, horrible feeling, emotional stuff that our nervous systems just don't know how to handle. So they need attention. They need your attention like it's medicine, like it's nourishment, like it's nutrients. It's like you can't go without vitamins. If you took vitamins completely out of your diet, you're going to be irritable. You're going to be like totally fucked over neurophysiologically if you don't get these essential nourishment for your body. Attention is the same thing for your queen. So if she's not feeling seen, heard, and safe within a deep, emotional, intimate, relating relationship perspective with you, well, hey, it's sub-quality. It's not what they're really looking for. But if you give your attention for solving problems, and that's the bind that a lot of guys find themselves in. It's like, hey, you know, oh, our kid at school, you know, the grades are suffering. And you're like, man, he just doesn't like geography. Or like, but all of a sudden, it's like it becomes a major thing. And it's like it becomes an ethical thing where you can be shamed. You can be guilted in. It's like, oh, do you not care about our kids now? Or, oh, do you not care about the house now? Or do you not care about, you know, you don't care about me. You know, I've this fatigue syndrome. And now, like, you know, you need to show up. You know, because I have a physical health problem. They become problems that it's like you can't ethically not support them with. That's a major warning sign. If you recognize this, don't get fucking pissed with your queen. This is subconscious. The subconscious mind will do whatever it needs to make sure its needs are being met. So take it as an extreme ownership of, okay, you see the sign, not good, you got up your game in marriage, in relating. The second one, I've spoken to this recently. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, if this is a sign, you gotta. Maybe it's the King Kong of them all. No, there's lots of these that are major, but rising resentment. Resentment, like as it shows up, how resentment shows up, it's that icky, fucking horrible feeling, background, pissed off, irritable attitude that you both end up having with each other. Behaviorally, the warning signs that point towards resentment are, right versus wrong battles. Whereas, like, any conversation that goes to anything other than agreement, it's like, oh, you know, there's a spikiness in it. And especially over time, you know, at the end of a conflict conversation, there's like a frosty patch where you harden up with her, she hardens up with you, one of you, both of you, whatever. But it's like conflict just is a horrible breeding ground of shit. And it feels horrible. You resent her, she resents you. You resent even being together. It's like, man, there's just this pain and it's like this suffering. And like, is it ever going to be better? Like, Christ. And like, you'll get so pissed and irritated with her irrationality. And boy, oh boy, she's going to be doing the same with you. Part of it is like you end up bitching your head about your wife and she's probably doing the same with you. Like you drive off to work after having that conflict in the morning, but there's a part of your mind just going, oh, for fuck's sake, Nancy, for fuck's sake. Like, why the hell? Why is this ever going to end? This is hopeless. She's at it again. Why is she always on my back? And it's like, it's that boy bitch energy. You're just not feeling any empowerment in the situation and you're resenting her. Another key sign of resentment is repeated dragging up the past in arguments. It's like it rarely happens that a conversation is just about what is just after happening. It begins with what is just after being said, what is just after being done that has sort of annoyed the other, and then you're just like 60 seconds in, fucking 6 milliseconds in, and it's like, yeah, but you did the exact same thing like a week ago, and then 3 months ago, and then 4 years ago, and then fuck, the past keeps coming up. Key sign of rising resentment, guys, major warning sign on the dashboard of your marriage. If you recognize this, if you can go, yeah, catch yourself when I sort of pose the question, are you noticing this? Catch the part of your mind that minimizes and normalizes. Catch it. Literally, observe. Meditation is a process of coming to know your mind. We speak about this in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles all the time. It's like, you know, guys, this work is just becoming aware of how your mind works. Like, by default, what's the trained conditioning? What's the habitual pathways of thinking that comes up? It's like it just happens. It's not that you consciously think, oh, I'm going to think this thought. It just shows up out of nowhere. So notice the thoughts. Notice that when I pose the question, it's like, okay, well, where are you really at in this sign of marital breakdown? Notice if some thoughts come up of going, ah, well, yeah, there's a little bit there, but it's not that bad. It's minimizing and normalizing, guys. I want you to sort of take on the thing. It's either there or it's not. If there's a little bit or a lot, it's a warning sign. Just don't allow minimizing or normalizing come in. Notice it. It's not a mistake, but start noticing your nervous system do that. This shows up constantly in work, constantly in men's circles, in one-on-one work, constantly in my own mind. I still have this part that goes, ah, well, it's, you know, wasn't that bad. Well, like my queen would give me, like, rips through me on that with direct, ferocious feminine feedback. Is how do you mean it's not that bad? You know, it's like, I'm after saying X, Y, and Z. You're saying it's not that bad? Like, what the fuck? Less and less that I do that, but it happens. So minimizing and normalizing, become aware. Point number 3, sexual stagnation. Intimacy becomes sort of like same shit, different day routine. It feels like a chore. When you start having language or a feeling of like, sort of like, oh boy, you know, it's date night. Almost like, I sort of have to tick this box, you know, I'm tired and, you know, all these excuses come through your system and you sort of know she's the same. Maybe it's been said, like, man, this is just like feeling like a chore, isn't it? And like, there's just this fucking sad energy. You know, there's no excitement. And it's like, you're getting it on together. It's like sex, it's like passion, feeling red hot, attractive. You know, this beautiful woman, you beautiful man, fucking boom, in love. You know, it's like, man, it's like, having sex is awesome, but none of the awesomeness is there. It's like, oh, you know, you tick the box because one of you or both of you sort of know. It's like, oh, well, things go totally in the shitter if we're not making love. So, you know, once a week, once a month, you know, you sort of got to tick the box intermittently, don't you? Make it happen. Grind it out. You know, it's like, grind it out. Just Just make it happen. It's a chore. It's like nobody likes fucking hoovering the house, but you gotta fucking do it. Otherwise, it gets even worse. Life gets worse. The major warning sign. Major. Other things is when sexual stagnation becomes absent. It's just not there. Again, minimizing and normalizing, we can sort of, but things aren't so bad, and like, blah, 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 and it was because of that, and like, actually, it was her issue, and maybe she needs support, but I still love her, and blah, blah, blah. Minimizing and normalizing. Sexual stagnation, guys, major warning sign, not to be ignored. Number four in the marriage breakdown warning signs that husbands, again, remember, husbands don't notice, or to minimize and normalize to the point at which they ignore the warning sign, is physical distance. It's the next door neighbor to sexual stagnation, but physical distance, it's like in and around the house, in the environment, in the car, you're out in public. There's no cuddles. There's no hugs. You've stopped sitting close together during a movie and you sort of like sit apart like fucking friends would. It's like you're there. Yeah, you're doing a movie night. You're like, might watch a series like whatever, there's some series that you might even trigger a bit of chat like about the characters and like, oh my god, and like there's a bit of banter, but it's like the physical closeness just has sort of slipped away. There's no public signs of affection. You notice other couples being affectionate and it's almost like an irritated, oh Jesus, would you look at them? Because why? There's a judgmental part of you going, oh, would you look at them? They're all over each other, like these comments. But what's really being triggered? It's like Carl Jung 101 psychology. It's like anything that irritates you and somebody else, if there's a key teaching sign for something deeper inside of your nervous system, your mind. It's like you're missing that physical distance. And it just ultimately becomes business-like. Sort of like, I don't know, like an attitude. I'm just trying to make it through to Friday, man. Just getting shit done. There's all of these responsibilities. You just got to tick all these boxes. This human being, I mean, she ticks boxes, I ticks boxes. If we can arrange the ticking of boxes enough, the whole fucking ecosystem of our life together won't fall. I mean, but I'm just trying to get through to Friday. It's like physical closeness, all that shit. Like, I don't have time for it. Physical distance, guys. Major, major thing. I've had several different guys where their minimizing and normalizing comes to the point where on application calls for Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, and I've heard it in groups where it's like, oh, we're not sleeping together anymore. It's like, oh, okay. And my assumption is sort of, my assumption in the beginning was, okay, we're not having sex together. And then it's like, no, we've been in different bedrooms. And I'm talking about guys minimizing and normalizing, not sleeping in the same room for like a couple of years. And it's like, for various different reasons. Oh, I snore, or oh, she is a really light sleeper, and we've just had to do this thing. And yeah, it's like it's fine. We're doing things, like we're getting on, and we know we have issues, and I know like there's communication. And 2 years, 3 years, 3 months sleeping in different bedrooms. It's a real distance. But again, I can't express to you how much evidence I have for this. I can't exaggerate this enough. I can't underline it enough. I really want you hearing this, not hearing it again, minimizing and normalizing. The classic minimizing and normalizing is, oh well, sure, this is like, there must be so many poor bastards out there that minimize and normalize, but like I see it as it is. It's the ultimate fucking masculine headed arrogance, guys. If there's any signs that physical distance, it's not like it used to be. There used to be cuddles and stuff in the beginning. Man, you might have some capacity to get through that. Your queen's nervous system, that hurts. That's knives into her. And if she has minimized and normalized to the point at which she just like has that as the new accepted norm, man, you're going to smash off a fucking, your car is going to spontaneously run out of road and go over a cliff. That's your marriage. That's the context. Number five. You feel unwanted. You're hiding behind like a fuck you armor of blame. It's like, oh, blaming her, and oh, she's always criticizing me, and you've got this sort of resentment story with her. But all of that external or internal blame externally sometimes with her, it's like it's just hiding an unspoken loneliness in you, man. You feel unwanted, you feel unseen and unheard by your queen, and that's brutally alienating as an experience. I was having that. I didn't know how to soften into that emotional experience. I was really lonely. Really lonely. And my queen was desperately lonely. You know, you feel unwanted, she feels unwanted. If she has said that to you, one and both feeling unwanted, it's a major warning sign where you're feeling lonely, really lonely. There's a sadness and a grief in the background. Again, we mightn't, you mightn't, you know, as individually and collective as men, we, you know, it takes training. That's why I've developed Heroic Husbands Men's Circle, so men can train to like reawaken this beautiful emotional capacity that we have to feel emotions, to be with them, not to fucking be taken to Chinatown with them. Actually, masculine structure, you'll see, you'll hear the guys. I mean, whatever the emotion is, don't fucking drop your structure, man. Keep the masculine power. Like, you're a powerhouse leader. A leader is fueled by emotions. He isn't collapsed by them. But if you try to suppress them, that's a nightmare zone. So a distinct background feeling could be really, really deep down that you're just feeling unwanted, man, and unloved. And that's horrific. And that's a real major warning sign. Number six. There's the resentment part, and this might be like the opposite side of the same coin in ways. All of a sudden, her nagging stops. The warning sign in that is, you know, the one thing I'd say is, like, if her complaints have dried up, do not celebrate that as a victory. Do not go, oh, you know, just nice and peaceful recently. The months and maybe a couple of years leading up to me, you've heard the story if you've been following me quite often at this point. There's lots of new people coming in. Welcome to the party. You know, leading up to me inviting a dude into our sacred home and my queen falling in love with him, I was feeling, it's like, man, you know, like things are going good. And, you know, part of that was sort of like her nagging, my queen's nagging, her complaints sort of had stopped. The major thing was she had stopped because she had just surrendered, not in the nice, beautiful, spiritual surrender, sort of. She had submitted to the hopelessness that I was ever going to change. And there was some part of her going, the pain of experiencing hopelessness on a daily basis and the depression that goes along with that, you know, just stop complaining. Just stop asking for more. Just submit to, you know, with me, it was like, Mark is just, he's at where he's at. He's a good man. He's good intentions. He does stuff around the house. He does the thing with the girls. He's not a bad guy. I feel starved of any of my feminine needs ever being met by this man. But, you know, I'll just do that. Guys, I thought I was going around in fucking paradise because there was no more complaints. There was no more, you know, sort of nagging, like biting. There was like the bite had gone out of the drama and the bite had gone out of conflict. It's like, oh, we're good. I took that in my minimizing and normalizing fucking bullshit tower of unconscious masculine arrogance. I took that as victory. I took that, geez, we're doing good. You know, it's like the false, what do you call the dude in the UK? Was it Chamberlain? I'm forgetting. The dude that came, oh, he comes down off victorious off the plane. We've got peace in our times. He's waving the document that like Adolf Hitler has signed. Sound, grounded man that Hitler was. You know, we've got peace in our times. Don't be waving a document in the air, guys, symbolically going, I've got peace in my times. You know, we're going good. This marriage is good because the drama has ended. Bad fucking sign. That's a big sign that your queen is experiencing deep hopelessness, has been, and she's psychologically moving on. The nagging has stopped. She's stopped caring about the relationship. She's stopped caring how the fuck you show up or don't show up. Major, major sign. Sign number seven. Keep leaning in, guys. Keep courageously opening your heart and your mind. Bring a beginner's mindset to this. It's major signs. Again, I want to just point out, like, there's major hope in all of this. There is a way, but you can't find one step the way to step forward powerfully to a new future until you get really honest with where you're truly at. Is that It's like the, what do you call the fucking devices? Oh man. Google Maps and shit like that, you know, like as a navigation device, super powerful tool, but it's obsolete. It's useless. It's of no use if you don't know where your starting point is. Oh man, I want to get to there. Yeah, but from what infinite point on the planet are you starting? I can't help you until you know where you are at. That's heroic humility. Number seven, your queen has dried up. What that means is, like, you know, your queen in the beginning, you found her so attractive, like she was full of light, there was humor, there was spontaneity, excitement, you know, there was good times, she was soft, smiling, attractive looking, there was a bubbly, that bubbliness, you know, it sort of snapped you out of, you know, your masculine, probably sort of linear, rational, and it just it felt exciting, and you fall in love, and all is good, and it just fucking dries up. And you're there lamenting, like, oh, can we ever get back to how it was? You don't want to get back to how it was. You got to get fucking real first with where it's at. You got to recognize and go, man, she's dried up. That's a pain. It's painful. Like, and like, there's no attraction left. You feel that it's just gone. You feel like, oh, the love is gone. And this is where the bullshit happens, where, oh, the love is gone. Again, a reminder is maybe all the signs are that she's dried up, that there's no light, no humor, no dance, no spontaneity, no excitement, no fucking joie de vivre of, like, you know, that libido fullness that like a woman in her fullest expression of feminine energy is fucking sensationally intoxicating for us in a beautiful way. Don't look at it that, oh, the love is gone. What I want you to know is, like, in all of these signs, if the love seems like it's gone, if these signs are showing that, man, you know, it's like there's alert, there's warning bells that there's a marriage breakdown, it's not because the love is gone. That's fucking bullshit. Love is not a noun. It's not like an object that it's either there or it's not. Love, to love, is a verb. Marriage transformation heroes, the guys in heroic husbands men circles, that's the culture. It's like, okay, so it's not there. What are you doing to plant infinite seeds today so that love will thrive? Where are you know, fueling her appreciation? Where are you complimenting her? Where are you supporting her? Where are you sitting and being present with her? All of a sudden, when you do that, what the fuck happens? The love comes back. The feminine fullness comes back. She, if she was dried up like a prune, she comes into full fullness. She's smiling. She's laughing. She's making love. She's moving. She's, like, very forgiving. The resentment is gone. 'Cause why? You know, it's like, when a feminine dries up, it's not that the love is gone. It's not that she doesn't love you anymore. It's just she needs some watering. It's like a plant wilts. You don't need to get a new plant. You don't need to fucking attack the plant and say the plant is doing something wrong. You just need a water with some powerful, conscious, masculine loving. But it's a major warning bell. If your queen has dried up, guys, you gotta get in that job. Stop the minimizing and normalizing. Number eight. She starts having her own major plans and projects. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, some beautiful, powerful, feminist-sided women, they'd be jumping down my throat already if I was on a stage in front of them. They'd be like, you no fucking way, like, that's like, women can have projects. We can do that. We can go out into the world. I'm not saying that. I'm like, it's a beautiful thing. Actually, my own queen has started her podcast. I've supported her in her podcast, and she has signed up her first few clients this week. She's on fire. It's her project. She has a major project of, like, we have eight horses. We're going to be building an arena. It's a major project. What I'm talking is about is when she starts, when her plans and projects takes over her entire life, and it's like whatever couple of minutes or a bit of time and energy and attention that she had to invest into your relationship, it's gone. She's constantly talking about it. She's constantly, her schedule is full outside of parenting, outside of, like, whatever the mundane task that she does to keep the household, you know, ecosystem moving. All the other energy has gone into this project or projects. It's like obsessive. That's a major sign. It's a major sign. She's not feeling her. She has for years not been feeling seen, heard, or safe around you emotionally and psychologically. So she just filled in the gap. She's like, maybe it's like for the sake of the kids, I won't divorce for the sake of whatever. He's not that bad. Maybe it's like, you know, my queen with me. You know, he's a good man. I don't want a divorce. I want to break up. Like, just a pain. We have a life together, but I got to fucking do something that is, gives me a meaningful experience in my nervous system that fucking gives me some dopamine release, some oxytocin, some made of something by connecting with other people. Major warning sign. Yes, if it's a great thing and it's consciously part of the system like it is in my system now, wonderful. But if it's just her putting a band-aid on and meeting all her sacred feminine needs from some other project, major warning sign. You gotta get going. Again, you can think that that's a temporary victory of, oh, you know, she's so satisfied, she's doing her thing. Yeah, she's become masculine in meeting her needs. If she does that, sex life is dead and buried. Really, it's not a good thing. It's a bit like when her, you know, her nagging stops. When a project comes in and she's just finding a way to sedate the horrific pain of hopelessness, of feeling disconnected from you and feeling like you're never going to show the fuck up or find a way to do it. Number 9, your greatest sense of freedom is leaving your home. You got to get fucking real with this, guys. This is not to feel shame. None of these signs are to feel shame. But, you know, when you go out the door to work, I know a lot of guys are working from home, but if in the past or if you still go to work, drive to work, driving anywhere, just going out the door to a sporting event, to whatever, do you feel like a sense of relief in that experience? A sense of like, you know, when I shut that door, you know, just getting into the car, putting on a podcast, putting on some music, fucking window down if it's a nice day, breeze going through my hair. Man, there's a bliss in that that's just like, it's beautiful. I love those moments. I just love getting the fuck into work and just jumping into projects where, man, it's easy. You know, it's rational minded. I learn the rules. I know how to get from A to B and work, and they pay me, you know, to give me a raise. They appreciate me, you know, fist pumps, end of quarter, another good fucking job, man. You know, there's people there, probably like my clients, people I teach, whatever it is, like they appreciate me. I like that. That there's some distinct difference in your human experience of appreciating where you get the fuck away to versus being at home. There's more freedom, you know, at the gym. There's more freedom at the jiu-jitsu gym. There's more freedom, you know, going to a congress where you get to fucking travel. It's like, oh, honey, you know, so there's a training for work. I've got to go away for a weekend. And you're just blissed out, having a drink by yourself, having a meal by yourself. That's a major warning sign. That doesn't mean you're wrong as a person. It doesn't mean that your queen is wrong. Again, the trash can metaphor is like, if you're starved of all your needs in marriage and you haven't upskilled, got to training, got to support, stop lone wolfing, stop minimizing and normalizing and got to support, to support you, have the skill set, have all the tools available to create connection. To get the nourishment of your needs, if you've been starving and you start eating out of a trash can because you haven't eaten food for 4 weeks, nobody's going to judge you. They're going to be like, man, fuck, I'd have done the same thing because you're starving, clearly. So having a sense of freedom going away, that doesn't mean you're a bad man. Hey, dude, your queen probably feels something similar if there's a shitstorm at home. But it's a really major warning sign, because here's the thing. Your queen and your kids will notice how you light up a bit more or a major bit more when you're talking about a client, when you're talking about the boss, when you're talking about, you know, they'll see you at a social gathering with your guys from the gym, from the local football team, from the jiu-jitsu club, and man, you come alive, you're full of enthusiasm, you're full of fun and laughter and jokes, and then the car door closes and they get the other side of you. That's really hurtful. That's astoundingly hurtful. It's deeply traumatizing for your kids to go, fuck, like he brings all of this for everybody else, but then at home with mom and by extension with us, there's this other side of him. Major warning sign. Doesn't mean that you're broken, doesn't mean that you're a bad man, but it means you need to get support. You need to get training, genuinely. Otherwise, you could be going to that cliff edge. Point number 10. This is like the major unspoken one. But you got to get fucking real with yourself on this. This was all over my relationship in the lead up to my marriage breakdown, breakthrough experience. Point 10 is you get an unspoken, intense kick when connecting with other women. This is a major one because if your wife is listening in on this, I've heard some women, it's like, you know, listen in. And I would say, you know, like, don't raise your fucking eyebrows with your dude. He's having his experience. You know, let him get real within himself. Don't jump down his neck or he'll never listen to this podcast with you and ever open up to you in any way, shape or form to go to marriage therapy or do anything for your marriage if you do. But assuming that you're listening alone and assuming that you can listen in a safe space, guys, you got to get fucking real. You know, the classic secretary, the new colleague in the office that it's just nice. There's a freshness about her. There's just like this simplicity. You know, you walk down the office floor and she smiles, you know, it's just nice. And here, like, it doesn't mean you're bad, doesn't mean you're wrong. Again, if none of your needs are being met at home because of a fucked up dynamic and you haven't got the support in the work, blah, 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 it's nice. And if you get a real intense kick off, like, man, it's just so, like, that's, it just feels so exciting and so enriching and enlivening. You just feel energized and, you know, hey, that can shift into fantasies. It can shift into sort of a desire to go on the lunch break with her. You know, you can think of female companions in and around the neighborhood. Could be like a, you know, the wife of your best mate, but man, you just got to chat at the barbecue of your mate's birthday and you chatted for like 10-15 minutes and there was a connection. It's like she understood you and you're not planning to do fucking anything with her, but there's an immense emotional experience that you're having that is like, it's like a need, a deep, deep unmet need is being met and it becomes intense. And you might keep these secret. You mightn't really, because of the discomfort of being honest with yourself of what that means, you mightn't really go with it, but you're having that experience. You know, think about women at the gym or if you go to a yoga class, you know, female instructor or your therapist is a woman, whatever it is, but you form intense emotional connections with other women outside of your marriage that, man, I've heard it happens. Guys fantasize, they work it to the point at which cheating happens. Again, no judgment, whatever. I'm not going to judge. You're honored and loved and accepted no matter what. But clearly, that's not an ideal scenario for your marriage, clearly. But, you know, you end up just, it's intense. You mightn't have the intention. You might be there sort of, well, I'd never cheat. But you're not stopping this repeated connection happening. You know, you're not just saying a polite hello and walking on, chat with the guys. No, you're stopping with this woman, you know, who smiles, who laughs at your jokes, where the connection is easy. You're stopping at the gym for 5-7 minutes with her, you know, in the car park. And in your head, you're minimizing and normalizing, saying, oh, but it's nothing. You know, it's just friends and it's all cool. And maybe your intention is to be honorable and stick with that. But you're playing with fire. And deep down, you know you're playing with fire. Guys, these are the major signs. They're not all inclusive. They don't hit every single nail in the head, but they're the major ones that I am noticing all around. Number one, you solve problems, she creates problems. She gets obsessive about problems, because it's the only way to get your attention. Number two, rising resentment in the background of your relationship, showing up in constant arguments, right, wrong, battles, etc. Sexual stagnation, do not minimize and normalize that one. It's close cousin. Number four, physical distance coming into your relationship. Number five, you feel unwanted. And by extension, your queen has been telling you she feels unwanted, unseen, unheard. Just touch base into that loneliness behind your outer fuck you armor of blame and just get the fuck on with it and carve out a meaningful career and you're ticking your boxes. Are you feeling lonely, unwanted in your marriage? Number six, her nagging stops. Remember, whoa. Feminine feedback, that's her greatest gift. If she stops gifting you, if she stops calling you out and shit, man, she's cashing her ticket in and she's like just creating a different life in her head. Bad, bad sign. Number seven, your queen has dried up. The feminine fullness is gone. The smiles, the jokes, the laughter, the movement, the spontaneous dancing, the way she moves, the way she dresses, etc., etc. It's drying up. Major sign. Again, the love is not gone. To love. It's a verb. Get back in the arena. Number 8. She has her own plans and projects. She's becoming obsessive about them, and there's little or no oxygen left for you, the relationship, and there's a major sign. There can be justifiable fears of have you lost the boat? Has the boat already set sail? She might be showing up in your marriage, but it's physically showing up. You know, you can talk to her at the breakfast table and the dinner table, but that's about it. Number 9, your greatest sense of freedom is leaving your house, home, to go anywhere but be at home. Be showing up as a husband, as a father, as a household man. You're feeling domesticated. You're feeling like fucking whipped. You're feeling trapped, imprisoned in that space, and you seek freedom elsewhere. Major sign. Major sign. Because your entire nervous system is communicating you're feeling imprisoned to your kids, to your wife, to your queen. Major sign. Number 10, you get an unspoken intense kick when you connect with other women. There are the 10. Guys, the gauntlet is put down. Minimize and normalize them if you like the adrenaline kick of not knowing if your marriage is going to stay together or not. If you like extreme sports, as I said, I've joked with this before. Deep down, I'm not fucking joking. It's an absolute tragedy when you, with great intentionality, with a deep, great love for your queen, and she has the same with you, and when it falls apart anyway, because you just didn't upskill, you didn't get the training, you didn't get the support, you didn't get, you know, like just into an environment where, man, it's just the full game is going all in connection, taking extreme ownership, and feeling like you're back in the game, that the love isn't gone, it just needed nurturing, and that you get support to know how to nurture it in a way that's meaningful for your queen, but also to start recognizing your own emotions, your own needs, and, you know, fill your tank. It's that whole game that is happening at Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. The gauntlet is there. You've been hearing guys, Marriage Transformation Heroes. There's been Sav, Andrew, Ty Humphreys is going to be going live tomorrow. You're hearing their first-hand experience of the Heroic Husbands Men's Circle experience. It's fucking off the charts what's happening in there. Guys, it takes 10 seconds of insane kingly courage to just click, go into the podcast description notes, click on the link, book your call in. The calls, you have about 24 hours left by the time this goes forward, 24, maybe into the weekend, but those spaces, the application call spaces are actually being booked out. Get your application calls in the next 2 to 3 days. Max. Next week I'm going to be having the last of the application calls to welcome the week after the one and only wave of new intakes of new members coming into Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. There's going to be a few months into the new year before that opens up. If you are noticing and recognizing one or many of these signs as being true for your marriage, dude, I wouldn't be waiting on the fence. I'd be getting in this intake of new members. Finish 2023 as a marriage transforming hero of your relationship. There's no better fucking game in town in as deep, intimate relating with your queen, feeling full of radical, masculine, intense aliveness inside of yourself, knowing that, you know, you're showing up finally as the king you were born to be, and your queen has given you all that beautiful feminine feedback. And hey, the next 7 generations through the eyes of your kids are looking on going in awe, in admiration. He's my fucking dad. That's the type of feeling that you deserve, man. And your wife, your kids, and the next 7 generations definitely deserve it. In perfect alignment with the Mantra Offer movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Heads up, kings! Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until November 3rd. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.